Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This fifth Sunday of Lent, we're already beginning to anticipate the joy of Easter. There is some mild unpleasantness to get through before we get there, but I think most of us, and certainly myself, I'm already looking forward to the resurrection. And here we have, as our texts today, reanimation, resurrection texts. It's all very exciting. But it's important to remember what comes before the resurrection. It's unfortunate that really the only time we ever read from Ezekiel is this particular text, the dry bones text. One of the commentators noted that the other part of Ezekiel you hear is from the movie Pulp Fiction. Right before he kills somebody, he does a text from Ezekiel. But otherwise, we know almost nothing about Ezekiel and his ministry. But to understand this story of dry bones, we need to hear the story of Ezekiel, a prophet called in a troublesome time in Israel's history. They were under siege by the Babylonians. In the midst of all of it, Ezekiel himself gets cut off, exiled from the people. He is desperate. His wife dies. And God says, "Do not mourn. You must be an example for Israel who had lost their temple." And God didn't want them to mourn for the loss of their temple. And so God says to Ezekiel, "You also must not mourn for the loss of your wife." And then the Babylonians come and they lay siege to Jerusalem. And for 2 years they are under siege. And everywhere around them are dry bones. Their children are starving. Mothers are dying. Young men and women lying dead in the street. It's a horrific scene. And in the midst of it, God says to Ezekiel, "Prophesy to the bones." We don't understand Easter without Good Friday. And in the same way, we don't understand this text from Ezekiel unless we understand that it comes at the depth of Israel's existence. And God says to him, "Prophesy to the bones." And there were very many of them lying around. And I love this. And they were very dry. And God says to Ezekiel, "Mortal, can these bones live?" You know, God, prophesy to the bones. And he does. And sinew and flesh come upon them, and the rattling begins. Wonderful songs have been written, you know, about this text. And in the midst of the dryness and the horror and the history, the bones of the whole house of Israel find themselves enfleshed. "Our hope is cut off," they say. But God says, "Breathe into them." And God's breath enters them. And God says, "I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O people, and bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord, and I will make for you a ground, and I will plant you there." All of us know about dry bones. Some of us have drier bones than others. All of us know some tragedy in our life and in our world. It doesn't take much to figure it out, does it? Look only to the fact that we're involved in three wars. Look at the Ivory Coast, just a few minutes. Take a look and see what's happening along the coasts of Africa. See what's happening in the Congo, where women and children are dying, dry bones. Look in our own heartland and on our coast and in our cities where our children literally are starving and going to bed hungry, dry bones. Closer to home, take a drive around our island and see where people have pregnant women laying, sleeping on the street and children running around with no one to care for them. Homelessness and hunger, houselessness and hopelessness. It is everywhere we look. It doesn't take the Babylonians to make dry bones. And in the midst of this situation, as they call it, God says to you, as God says to Ezekiel, prophesy to the bones. Well, what could we possibly have to say? What words of hope can we bring to ourselves or to the world? It's probably easy enough to just say, look, everything's going to be okay. It will all work out in the end. Look at poor Lazarus, right? I mean, they were family friends of Jesus. You would have thought they would have gotten a little bit of preferential treatment. But no, they send message to Jesus that Lazarus is sick and that he's going to die. And Jesus says, I'll be there in a couple of days. And then that text where he says, don't worry, he's just asleep. He's so dead that he's already begun to smell. And yet, Jesus prophesies to the bones. And they have life. As we begin to move toward the Easter week, that Holy Week and Easter week, what will we have to say to the bones of the world? It's not enough, as I said, to say, well, everything's going to be okay. It's all in God's hands. And if you just trust, everything's going to be okay. That's simple enough. But for some people, it won't be okay. Their relatives will die. They will get sick. More women will be raped in Africa. More children will be enslaved into military service in the Congo. What will you say? I think the power of the story of Lazarus is that in the midst of dry bones, Jesus chooses to be present. He shows up. He doesn't make everything okay, because do you remember what happens to Lazarus? In the end, what happens? Oh, come on. You read your Bibles. Do you remember what happens to Lazarus? He gets killed. As a matter of fact, immediately after this text, when they find that Jesus has done this tremendous miracle, what's their response? We got to kill this guy, and we ought to kill Lazarus while we're at it. Lazarus is going to die. Does it make the resurrection any less powerful? What's going to happen to Jesus on Good Friday? They're going to kill him. And yet through each of those events, as through all of the dry bones of our life, God refuses to depart from us. Can you imagine being in Jerusalem and watching the temple be destroyed and your children killed and your people enslaved to be in siege for years, to starve to death? You would be asking the question, where is God? The same question we're asking. Where is God? Where will we look for life in the midst of all of this death? Each time we see the ragged remains of Japan or the Ivory Coast, a divorce, a meaningless death, death? Where will we look for Jesus? Where will we look for light? It comes in the breath. In the breath. In God's Spirit that breathes on each of you in God's grace and God's love. Just breathe. Imagine for a moment what it would be like to not breathe. Those of us who have asthma know what that's like. God sends God's Spirit and God's breath on God's people so that light can happen. It's powerful to read the stories of heroes who are working. I think, for instance, of our bishop's son, who has dedicated the last few years of his life working on a project to rescue children in the Congo from being pressed into the army of a terrible, terrible man. And every day they go and they find more children and they go into the villages. And they've even employed technology now where they give the chiefs of the villages a cell phone and say, he's coming. And everyone goes away. I think of regular people who go and are working to help protect our environment. I think of the people who are sharing their lives with our homeless population to try and figure out how to bring life in the midst of that death. Life is being breathed by God into the world each and every moment through you and through people like you. There's only a valley of dry bones when we lay down with them and die. But there is only life when we receive the breath of grace and are ourselves reanimated in hope. Each day I am encouraged by that hope that comes through the word of Jesus, who says to Lazarus and to us, come out, live. Who says to a church that is trying to figure out who it is, live, come out. Who says to a people who are not sure what it is that God is doing among us, come out and live. Stand beside those who are dry bones and prophesy to them and be prophesied to. What Jesus does that day and what is described in the prophet Israel is nothing short of a miracle, certainly. But the miracle is not that Lazarus comes out, but that Jesus shows up. And Jesus continues to show up for us and for the world. We need to hear the painful stories to open our eyes to the pain of the world so that we know. And so that we can prophesy to the bones. And so that the very breath that was given us in grace and baptism, we might breathe on the world. So that indeed God's presence will be known, God's hope will be shared, and the resurrection will begin to flower throughout all of God's creation. So that Christ might be made known, that dry bones might be knit sinew to sinew, flesh to flesh, and breathe. So go from this place and prophesy. Go and tell them what God is doing in the world. Share with your hands and your feet and your spirit and your life God's breath. And the bones will dance, and Lazarus will walk, and Christ will be made known. Amen.